I never discussed with Daryl ahead of time anything about what he's preaching on or scripture or anything like that. And he never talks to me about what the Lord has on me. And one of the verses that I'm going to be reading, Daryl read this morning. And in second chapter of 2 Peter, the 22nd verse, it says, "But it is happened unto them according to the proved proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." And then if you want to read with us in the 1 Corinthians, the very first chapter and the 18th verse. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." And, you know, I was thinking upon these two verses here, and in this one, the 18th one, it makes it clear about both ways of looking at the preached word. And, you know, I'm afraid today a lot of people think it's foolish if we really preach the word of God the way that it is. And yet you'll find that so many people are falling into that verse there in 2 Peter. And I was thinking real early this morning about a couple that come here a few years ago that had two boys, and it seemed like it was such a horrible thing to think of taking that time out of your life to go to church. And he would much rather on Sunday be sitting watching a car race or something on TV rather than being in church. And then I hear just here recently they've had another child, and it born addicted to drugs. And our choices, it makes a difference in our life. And so many people, we seem to think, well, what I do is my business. But our choices affects other people besides ourselves. And as I was just talking to my mom on the phone about a nephew of mine and the choices he's made and his family, and just what kind of tragedy is going on and in that family, it may be some children going into foster care because of the choices that mother and dad has made. And I was thinking how people, they're not willing to give God time in their life, but when they don't even know what the side effects are, they'll take a needle and stick it into their arm and shoot herself up with something that somebody had told them about. Or they'll take a drug, or they'll smoke something, and they don't even know what it's going to do to their body. But all they're going to do is look around, see those that have been on it, and it's yet to find anybody that has done any good to them. It does nothing but destroy. And yet when we turn our heart and life over to God, every time we listen to them, it changes our life. It changes the lives of those around us. It puts us on a higher plane. It takes us from being the outcast to being chosen people. What a difference that made. I'm just making that decision to give God our life and not be selfish and look for a moment's pleasure. And if we would stop to see what that moment of pleasure, as the world calls it, is going to cost us, it's more than anybody wants to really pay. As I think I mentioned here just a week or so back, of seeing the picture of a woman sitting on a table of what she looked like just a few years before, and the cops arrested a woman there because she'd been on meth. And you wouldn't even recognize it being the same woman in less than 5 years. How it had destroyed that life. The beauty of that woman was destroyed because of the sword and all of the marks of what she had been taken. You and I today, I've never seen a person that come to the Lord to look worse after her. I say them that look horrible because of the things of sin. But when you see them after, they had a new glow of color. Why? Because God had made a difference. He cleaned them up. He put a new design to her. He gave them a new life. Something to look forward to tomorrow about. Instead of dread to see another day. And you and I, if we decide that we want to live for the Lord, and we accept that preaching of the cross of being exactly what it is, the plan of salvation to me and to you, we can find we no longer have to live our life in fear. You know, my dad, he said, when he was in sin, though he was just a very young man, he said, he never seen a policeman. But what he didn't bow his head and try and walk by without him seeing him. Because he didn't know what he had done while he was drunk. He didn't know if maybe that policeman was looking for him. And he said after he got right with the Lord, it was so nice, no matter who you seen, you could hold your head up high. Because there was nothing there that he was ashamed of. You and I today, isn't that a much better way to live? As Darrell was preaching this morning, you know, we can read this, and there's nothing more sickening. I've even done it. See a dog, it was a pet of mine that I really like. But see that dog pull up and turn around and start eating that bird, vomiting it so and I take something running away. I don't know how filthy, how awful that is, but it just hit me. See all the trouble, the danger that we're in, all of the filth of our life, and we keep turning around and going back to it time and time again. We can come to mind, though I mentioned it a few years ago, just in standing in front of church, listen to free family, and thought that it was just too ridiculous. After all, I've done all that bad, but we can't even see how it destroyed our lives, and the devil got the world blinded. Until we stand before God and find out it's too late for us. You know, God's got the door of mercy open today if we'll only believe. And you know, as I was thinking about this and talking to my mom this morning, you know, I don't know what's in a person's mind. I've never been that low. I don't know what could be in a person's mind that they would pick up a needle and inject themselves with some kind of a drug that they know has the potential of killing them if they make a mistake. I don't know what could be in a person's mind that they think that is better than facing life the way that it is. You know, I've never seen a person that was, well, I used to work with a bunch of men that every weekend, as soon as they got their check, that's all they wanted to do was go and just drink and party and everything till it was every bit gone. And come in on Monday or Tuesday whenever they could get back into work and just look so awful and hungover and feeling so terrible. And I couldn't help it. This one guy, he was going around sucking on his arm all day long because he was hurting so bad from the withdrawals of what he had been on. And I laughed at him. I said, if you ain't some pitiful looking human being, I said, anybody that will do that to themselves deliberately, why should I feel sorry for them? I said, you look just plumb pathetic. And he said, yeah, but Friday night and Saturday, I felt like a millionaire. I said, what do you feel like now? You're worse than the beggar. I said, you work in the heat all week long, and you're done broke, and you blew it all, and you're so sick from what you did. I said, you can't only stand living. What can you say that was fun about it? I said, me, I went to church all weekend long. I had the blessings of God poured out upon me. I still got the money in my pocket. And yet I had a joyful weekend. And I feel great today. You and I today, God can lift us higher than anything we can find in His life. And even still feeling better ever than we've ever felt before. That's a different. All God wants to do for us. He is good, and the devil does nobody any good. God is reaching out arms to us, saying, why not try me for a while? You cried all the devil got to offer, and he's left you sick and in the dead, where nobody cared. I care for you enough that I was willing to die, that you might live. Why not try me before you destroy yourself? You know, as I was thinking of my nephew, and then thinking of that little baby born already with drugs in it, how could a mom and dad look at the side effects of the decision they made and not get on their knees and cry and beg God for forgiveness? I don't know. But each and every one of us, the decision we make today will affect somebody on down through life. We've heard it in a song today. We've heard it in testimony. We don't live our life for this moment, but it is going to carry on the consequences for a long time. Thank God my dad seen as just a teenager that he needed God. That the life he had been exposed to was not something that he wanted. He was choosing a better way. And God was offering it to him. Not because of what he had there. Because he said he didn't have a bit of money in his pocket. He shared it in advance with both friends. He had nothing to give God. But Riley himself. And that's all God was asking of him. God don't want your wallet. He don't want nothing but you to give him your heart. When you do that, God will give unto you things that you will find that's worth more than silver and gold. Then our good disciple said, I don't have any gold or silver to give you today, but that I have, I give unto you freely. Oh, that's the way it was given unto me. And that's the love of God. He's offering it unto each and every one. It will only reach out unto him and see that God loved us so much that he was willing to come and die the death on the cross that we might be forgiven. And when you think you've not done that much, it's not all that bad, whatever lie you want to tell yourself, look at what an awful sacrifice it took to make it possible to cover those sins from the eyes of God. It took a pure and an innocent man that did nothing wrong. They couldn't find one fault in him. The Son of God to hang there and die that you and I might live. And, you know, I cannot explain to anybody how wonderful it feels how great that is. It changes your life. But I've heard people talk about LSD trips and other drug trips and stuff. And you know, I have, even after what they talk about on that, and then I turn around and use it again, I've never seen one thing that was enticing about it. You know, from what I heard about it, there was nothing that made me say, well, let's go try. I just thought, how stupid can anybody be that tried it? But I have never thought anybody was stupid for trying God. Because Lord, let me live to August. I'll be 65 years old. And I have yet to see one person that ever suffered any damage whatsoever from coming to the Lord. I've seen alcoholics that afterwards the testimony was they went to bed with a fifth of liquor sitting on the nightstand. And every time they woke up, they took a drink. And anything that was left, they finished it on the side of the bed before they got up and put their clothes on. They drank all day long. The man come to church as an old man. He was probably in his 60s or older when he come to church. And his wife said that's the way he had lived his whole life. He came and Dad preached and he got up and left before it was over. And it's a week or two later, he came back again. And you could smell alcohol on him. If you just got near him, you could smell it on him. The second time he come to the altar, and if you'd have come and bowed beside him, you would have smelled it on him. But with God forgiving, he raised. There was no smell of alcohol, and the doctor can't do that for you. But God can. A man that had been an alcoholic for 30 or 40 years, never drawn a breath without alcohol on it. Never was he able to miss work. It's the way he was. He could drink like that and drive a car, walk a straight line, whatever. Why? Because his sister, it's his heart and so on. But yet he wasn't empowered by doing it. But when he comes to God, he went on before, never been up and down the same. Never need another drug. A doctor will tell you, a person that's addicted like that, you take it away from them, it'll kill them. Well, he died there on the altar, but he raised a new man in Christ Jesus. That old man did die, but that new man was alive for the first time, and he was changed. You and I today, that same God lives and reigns, and he's waiting to perform that miracle for us. If we need it, while we get some song to sing, I beg you, there's two ways set before us today, and God said for us to choose. And we can choose to be with the dogs and the hogs, as Daryl was preaching this morning, or we can choose to be with Christ and his people walking a highway of holiness. That straight and narrow pathway that leads from here unto heaven. And, you know, the Bible said that we must bow before God and we must confess our sins and our faults and ask Him to forgive us. Because if we don't in this life, we will in the one to come. The rich man did, but he didn't get his prayer answered. Today, Christ stands ready to answer our prayer while we sing. He's saying, will you come? That's a decision only you can make. I can't make it for you. Not anybody here can make that decision for another person. It's our decision whether we want to live for God or not. And if there's anything in this life standing between you and making that decision, according to the Bible, that's your God. And you and I, we must be willing to surrender all that we might follow God. Like I was telling you, do you want to live the life you're living or let that old life die and be a new one in Christ Jesus? While we finish this verse, will you come? Only God can change you. It's not something we're able to do within ourselves. It's not possible. No matter how hard we try, how determined we are, we cannot do it ourselves. Because the most we can do, we can wash the makeup off, we can change your clothes, we can comb our hair, we can try and look as presentable as possible. But that don't change the heart. That's just outward things. God starts on the inside. That's how an alcoholic can bow at alcoholic and raise a sober, pure, and clean man. Because God started from the very marrow of the bone and cleaned him up out. That's why he didn't raise from there till his heart of alcohol. That he had treasured so high. He was able to look at it as he poured it down the sink. And not want to draw blood. You and I today, that same God, he said, will you come? Why not try me for a while? I'm not willing to let the devil have you. That's why I'm knocking upon your heart. That's why I'm pleading and begging with you. I love you. And I want you to know how much that I love you. What I was willing to do for you. Thank you, my Lord. Will you come? Please, don't let the devil lie to you and you believe him that you've got plenty of time ahead of you. None is for sure. You know, the devil will tell you you've got plenty of time ahead of you if he knows in 30 minutes he's going to be talking to you trying to get you to kill yourself.
That's right.
Why? He's a liar. He'll tell you killing yourself is the best way out. That'll solve all your problems. No, that gets you into one that there's no way out of. Because you leave this world undone, you go to hell. And your life is not yours to take. So when you take it, you stand before God undone. Why? There ain't no way to pray and ask for forgiveness for taking your life after you're dead. The way we leave this world, that's the way we're going to stand before God. Each and every one of us, there are decisions that we make in our lives that will stand for all of eternity. And I look back, and as Dad, Darryl was describing Dad this morning, I seen that big old strong man from the time I was a kid. Preaching the Word of God, he got so frail that he was preaching from a wheelchair. But it was still the same God. And where he's at today, he's not frail anymore. You and I, that's something that's been tried and tested by time, all the way down through. Paul gave that testimony. That God is good all the way to the end. And he wants you to know that too. There's not a better thing that I know of in life than God. You can have the best meal. You can have the best house. You can have the best car. I don't care what it is. But that's temporary. You know, you can have the best car, but if you don't have money to buy gas, it's just sitting there.
Yeah.
I have the best God, and I don't need a dime in my pocket to enjoy him every day.
That's
true. I can get out there when I need a blessing and don't know where it's coming from. Just get out there and praying and talking to God, and he'll send it on the wings of a bird. He'll send it on a breeze. He'll send it some way or another to work after it's over. You just have to lift your head and say, thank you, Lord. Why? Because he knew what you needed and he was willing to send it just for you. That's a wonderful God.